Tyler, we're looking at Newegg. Excellent example. They've got a catalog of, what, a gabillion items?
Yeah, huge catalog of items. That's that massive scale we were talking about. But right from first launch, they do some really smart things. So those differences, those buckets of scale we talked about, they give me, right off the bat, two sets of human-readable, recognizable data. So I get six items here, I get eight items here, I can comprehend those, make sense of, okay, this is Shell Shocker deals, this is daily deals. And they give me this ability to go next level deep on daily deals, so I can save you all.
And that if I was a line of business developer, I could look at that as the last things that I've looked at, the next things in my workflow queue or whatever, bringing just a little bit together so that I don't have to go through the entire catalog.
That's right. So I can expand it out. And we're in that next bucket. And they do some of the smart things. They tell me how many things are here total. That scrolling we talked about, they go ahead and preset. Here's the total size of my view that I can scroll back and forth between. They give me those two or three critical pieces of data to make a decision on to whether I want to drill down from there. The next thing that they do, though, this is really smart.
Now, Tyler, let me stop you because I think about this a lot. Not all data has an associated picture.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? And a lot of the samples that I see, you know, they always show that picture and it makes it that much more beautiful.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a picture, you can still leverage things, right? You can still leverage colors. You can still leverage category images and things like that to still come with a similar kind of effect.
Yeah, and actually, this is a good point because one of the things that is being done a lot because it's really easy to do with modern apps that it hasn't been before is this notion of tile grids. But if we look here in Newegg's example, this browse by category. Now, if you go to their website, they list categories in a list. Here they're doing it as a grid. Now, I would argue from a strict UX standpoint that the appropriate metaphor here is probably actually a list of categories rather than the tiles. And the reason
Because it's more efficient. Let me just guess. Because it's more efficient.
That's right. As a human, I read, at least in the Western Hemisphere, I read top to bottom and left to right. And because it's in this grid, I'm not sure do I read left to right first and then down. Like, how do I read and parse the grid? Where if you give me a list here of categories, it reinforces that these are all categories, that this is a element of hierarchy.
It's even a source of frustration to me, Tyler, because it's not alphabetized. So I have to take the time to understand their icon, which may or may not have anything to do with the actual category. You could actually slow them down a little bit if you're not careful. And let me ask you another thing, since we're talking about frustration points. If I go here and then I go to computer hardware, I'm sure the next one has to do with monitor or whatever, and then I select monitors or input devices, and I'm sure the next one and the next – good grief, I'm clicking a lot. Is there a rule of thumb that you like to think about that says don't click too much, or is clicking okay? That's part of the experience of this type of app.
So this is where this is that mix of good, bad, you know, good, better, best mentality. Clicking is okay. Like, people are used to clicking. It's not a problem. Like, shortening your experience by one click may not have the payoff you think it will. However, the critical part of that is what is the time that I have to wait from on something to making a decision to click on the next thing on the next.
That's right.
Thing.
It's like what we were talking about before, the faster and fluiditer.
That's right.
You know, I just coined that, by the way. More fast and more fluid. And if it takes the next screen a full 5 seconds to download and paint, now suddenly that deep navigation is really a source of frustration.
That's right. And this is where, you know, the pattern they're using of going and drilling into a new page, maybe that's not the best way to do this. Like, using a cascading list where I select, like, CPUs and processors, if that remained a list on the left side, and now I get to my next list, which actually gives me the breakdown in more akin to the way the modern mail client works, where you go from folder to list to reading pane.
Even OneNote. OneNote does an interesting way of doing that too, of cascading the hierarchy for you.
That's right. Cascading that hierarchy lets me drill down. It's several clicks, but it not only keeps me in context, but because those are lists rather than grid tiles, it lets me read things as being siblings to one another, being of the same type relative to the hierarchy.
Now, this hierarchy is I like it because it's deep. Like, there is a sense to me, if we were just going to be, you know, just nitpicking here, there is a sense to me of not knowing where I am. I forgot that I'm in computer hardware. I thought maybe you clicked, you know, something else.
That's right.
And so that's just something else to remember, right?
That's right. Now, one of the things they do
How would you solve it, Tyler? Solve it for me, right? So, I mean, just do you want to maintain a visual tree?
I think in this case, what would work well for Newegg is to use that more of that OneNote cascading UI, mm-hmm. where you're really drilling down from a broader set to a more specific set of items. Now, that may not work in all cases, but I think especially in line of business, it's very typical to have kind of a categorical hierarchy where I start by selecting, you know, do I want invoices or customer contact information or transactions, what have you, and I really want to drill into a type of data or a subset of the big information architecture before I even really get started.
This is really fascinating. I mean, there's a sense that we're talking about building an app that doesn't necessarily look like the standard store app, right?
I mean,
we really are talking about a scenario that isn't standard. We're talking about a scenario of tons of data, and when it all boils down to it, the guidelines are there to keep you in, you know, kind of in step with the ecosystem, but they're just guidelines. You need to make those decisions that are best for your application, for usability.
Now here's an example. I just did a product search on Newegg. Just searched for case, which I know is going to return me a huge amount of information. But this is that kind of, like I said, good, better, best. It's good that they're telling me with a visual indicator that they're loading. Yeah. What would be better is if the application actually cached some amount of this data so that I don't have to sit and wait with an empty screen until it comes back to me.
Yeah, and no doubt this is some sort of asynchronous call that brings back a block of data rather than streaming in results so I can at least see a few at a time.
That's right. So,
and I wouldn't be surprised at the same time if a lot of the data that we're seeing actually is a large model, right? So it is heavy to bring back.
Now, the next app I really want to show is the new Netflix app, because they do some stuff here that's really smart. So they actually give you that top-level hierarchy from the get-go.
Sure.
But they're overlaying that with a scrollable list of items, and they collapse it as I scroll. So I can always bring it back up, but as soon as I go back to content, they hide the hierarchy, which is
And you can expand it regardless of your context.
That's right.
What's great. Yeah.
It acts as an overlay.
It's a very clever thing to do.
Now, what's interesting here is they only give me these human-readable buckets, and they actually break it down. So I get hierarchy at the top based on genre, mm-hmm. and then I get this 16 set, which they really treat as the kind of 0 to 7 phase of, okay, here's a reasonable set of things that I can look at. And I can click to drill in, and that's when I get the loadout of more. Right. Now, what's interesting, and this is where, again, Netflix could improve, they give me a static set. So I get this maybe 100 results, and that's all I get. Now, Netflix is a little unique in that, in their instance, most of their UI is about discovery rather than browsing. So there's so many millions of titles that if I browse by alphabet, that's not terribly meaningful. So they're using their algorithms to actually give me the closest matches. So the chance that I want to actually go beyond 100, minimized because of the way that their model
And they
works.
Have an advantage, right? Well, first of all, they have an advantage that their data has an image, right? That really helps. They also have the advantage that they have the ability to sort by relevance. And, you know, that's something developers can certainly put into their apps, may or may not have that at their disposal. But if they do, or if they can figure something that's similar to it, that's even a better way to at least have your default sort so that just prevent scrolling is another takeaway, I think.
I'm right with you. I agree. I think that, and this is that to point out, you know, compare Netflix to Newegg, right? The model of their data is different. Like Newegg is really about discovery where, Netflix is really about discovery where Newegg is really about find.
It's like,
find me a specific product or a specific class of products or a specific price point of products. You really need to think through as a developer, what is my user trying to do? Are they trying to find an outlier piece of data, or are, do they know kind of what they're looking for and they just want to get to it as quickly as possible? Because that really affects how you represent scale and how you make those transitions either through a hierarchy or how you pre-filter things for a user or how you pre-sort things for a user.
So let's us go back to our 400,000 records, right? I mean, it's nice to have Netflix here. We know they have millions, and so it's neat to see their implementation. And you know what? Honestly, I think it's neat to be honest about some things that we wish they did differently as well. And developers have the ability to use now semantic zoom. They filter smart, they sort smart, maybe even by relevance. They show things in small amount. If you try and put all 400 in your grid, even with virtualization, nobody's ever going to scroll that far. They get lost when they get halfway in. It's 400,000 records.
That's right. So the last example I want to show is SkyDrive, and specifically for images, because one of the things that SkyDrive does really well is I can right-click or I can swipe up from the bottom, and yeah, I can toggle between this detail view or a thumbnail view. And in thumbnails, yes, like when I'm looking at pictures, this is what I want to see. I want thumbnails, and I really do want to scroll through however many things there are. I want to look at all of these images. If there are 10,000 images,
yep,
I want to go through those 10,000 images. What's interesting here, though, and you can see this is happening here.
Yeah.
They are actually implementing the thing that I talked about earlier, which is as I scroll over, I'll go up a level here. Let's go to my other folder. As I start scrolling, it's loading. But if I scroll way over, now I'm sitting here waiting. Now, they're pretty smart about it. So they did come in and say, oh, well, let's start loading based on his viewport. But
yeah,
you can still see the lag. Like, it's still not super fast and super fluid. So, you know, I can scroll back and forth, and now
solve this for me, Tyler. There's a part of me that thinks, well, they're just suffering from your bandwidth, man.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so how could they solve this? Because there's a massive number of images in your folder. You're scrolling way to the end. They didn't know where you're going to scroll to. What can they think about to help that perform better?
So the best way to avoid kind of that issue is to implement those occasionally connected architecture. When I first install SkyDrive, before I run it the first time, or even as I'm running it the first time, use that idle network bandwidth as it's available to pull some of this stuff down for me so that mm-hmm. when I come into this folder, if I have some of this, go ahead, like, keep it, you know, pull it up from my local cache. Only load what you need to load on demand. And I think the important thing here is that doesn't mean load every image. We're talking thumbnails that are really small. Like, even for thousands of images, you're talking about a few megabytes of data that I can lazy load when I have network idle to be able to do that.
So if you have 4, 5, 6 folders in SkyDrive or whatever it is app we're talking about, yeah, you can kind of ease through those 4, 5, 6 folders and download that preview for all of them, yeah, while the user's in another folder. And that's just helping their experience as they move throughout the app.
And especially as we think of it in terms of line of business. Line of business, it's an app that a user's likely to spend a good amount of time in. So the app is active, so I can do those idle
loading. And you're likely local also.
That's right.
So you probably got tons of network bandwidth that you could eat up and not even think twice about it. Yeah, that's right.
Now, coming back to the last point I want to make, and this is what we talked about, kind of tiles and grids versus lists. One of the things that I think SkyDrive could improve, for instance, they do give me a detail view where I can see more metadata about my objects, but I don't get the option to have it in a list. And because of that, doing things like, how do I filter this? Like, how do I look if I want to sort by date, do I sort by date?
Yeah.
In a grid UI, it's really difficult to naturally expose, like, sort and filter. Most apps right now are doing that via the app bar at the bottom of the screen. But if you have a list view, and I actually have column titles, for instance, there's an affordance on objects that I can click to sort, for instance.
Well, wait a minute. And that affordance isn't a major violation of the overall UX guideline?
Again, this is what fits the user's context. If you're in a PC UI and you know that your user is going to be sorting items or filtering items, why not bring that to the forefront? Like, this is really about, again, reducing the gulf, right?
That's right. So
labeling things is not always a bad thing. But as we saw in the case of that chart illustration, labeling everything is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Labeling nothing is a bad thing. Like,
God, Tyler, I mean, there's so much for developers to think. I mean, there's so much for you and I to talk about. We could go on and on because there's so many little considerations. But there's a huge takeaway here. And I think what it is that it's the developer that has to figure this out, right? I mean, there are pattern after pattern after pattern. And there are all these guidelines out there, too, that really try and keep you from doing dumb stuff. And when you mix those together, they seem incompatible. But the reality is they're not, right? The guidelines are to keep you from going overboard. And all of these techniques are trying to solve these real-life problems of how do you sort, how do you filter, how do you navigate through a large hierarchy and a deep hierarchy. And now you get to marry these things and solve a problem over here without tremendously violating the guideline as well. I think it's a big deal. There's a reason that developers are developers, right? They are problem solvers, and these are serious problems. And if, you know, maybe they're not a designer, but you know, these are both design and development problems, to be honest. You know, about speed and latency and delivery and all these other pieces that a designer's, they're not into, you know, how quickly can we package it up on the server and get it to the, that's not what they're thinking about. So now we have all these different disciplines that we bring together as well. Nobody's kidding themselves. Yep. Right. This is difficult, and there's a lot to do.
I do think we're coming into a merged world where designers really do have to really keep those things in mind. Like, if you don't understand how the infrastructure works behind your app, how can you hope to design a performant and beautiful experience for that thing? And the same thing for developers, you know, like understanding the infrastructure doesn't make a great experience for the user because the user doesn't care about your infrastructure. Like,
that's right.
They don't care that you're asynchronously loading things or that you're trying to conserve bandwidth. They just want the experience that they want. And so merging those two worlds, and if you think about it in a toolbox mentality, a hammer and a screwdriver can do a lot of things. They can do a lot of things that they're not really made to do.
Sure.
But at some point, like, there's a lot of other tools out there. And if you think about UI patterns as tools, the same way you think about controls and system architecture and data storage as tools, there's a lot of variation out there, and there's a lot of opportunity.
And we've really helped developers, right? I mean, there are so many things now built into the controls that are native now that you get virtualization, all these other things. There's plenty more to do. There's no doubt there is plenty more to do. And in the end, the decision you're going to make is based on the user. And it's my opinion, the ultimate success criteria of any software application is user acceptance, right? That's if you have missed that, nothing else matters. You can be the fastest anything. You could be the prettiest whatever. And if users reject it because it's not easy to use, you just lost. That's what I feel too. And Tyler, I want to thank you for being on the show. We could go on and on. There's so much. Hopefully you'll come back and we can talk about some of these other problems that just nag developers.
That sounds great to me.
You got it. All right. Awesome. Thanks for watching, everybody.